You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me.
What you are about to hear is real. The prophets wrote of a time when the signs of the end would be seen. This is where Bible prophecy and current events collide. This is Unsealed.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Unsealed, the official podcast of Wings of the Eagle. I'm Christopher Manti, your humble host. Hope to be humble, at least. And I welcome you in, my friends, whether you are believers or not, in the Lord Jesus. Of course, everyone is welcome. I encourage you to say hello and to participate in these live podcasts that we try to do every single week. I know a lot of, you know, professionals, podcasting peoples and whatever are super, you know, scripted and write things in advance and record interviews. And that just takes a really long time. And I kind of enjoy it in this format, the back and forth with the folks. So I just say, bless the Lord and let's go for it. Hello. Hey, Brother Gary. Welcome, friend. Yeah. So again, say hello, whether you're on Facebook or YouTube or Twitch or Instagram. Should be going live on Instagram. There we go. Good to go. Say hello and where you're from and who you are. And if, by the way, you see the big the bottom of the screen there, let me know. Perhaps if you are a Christian and you've never felt comfortable or didn't know what to do about, maybe you've had a sighting or an experience outside of mainstream church topics like a UFO encounter. I want to hear about it, and maybe I'll be the first one you ever tell. And that's okay. No one else is going to hear about it unless you tell me to advertise it. Just go to the site that you see below at unsealedpodcast.com, and there's a form at the bottom. We can fill it out. Greetings and salutations indeed. Hello, bondservant. Bless the Lord. And we are on the X platform, Adam Rex. Yeah, very cheery, the Northeast. It's not usually that way. Anyways, thank you, sister. And please do share this, please, whatever your format you're watching this on. Maybe you're listening. You can share that as well. Anyway, so this is Unsealed. We've been doing mostly this topic since July. Of some type of UFO situation. And the way my personality works, if you don't know me at all, is I go study stuff. When something comes up that I know I have to find out about, right? So whether that's obviously the Bible, or some news of the day, or some, you know, geopolitical situation, or what have you, or the more supernatural aspects, not only of the scripture, but day-to-day life. And so this kind of falls into that category. And obviously I've always been interested in it, but I kind of pushed it aside. Over the last few years, cause I just didn't know what was true. Right. It got to the point where, you know, I've had a sighting. It was years ago, 40 years ago, pretty much, that I saw what I saw. And then, you know, you go on with life, and maybe possibly there was a secondary thing that happened about 25 years ago. But again, it's just like, all right, what do I do with that? I love the X-Files. You know, I like the topic. Something's going on, but I'm not sure what. And then with the internet age, you're just exploding with just every type of idea and all kinds of claims and every type of you know, experience imaginable. And the theories are all over the place. And there's pictures, but maybe there's not. And there's videos, maybe there's not. And then, of course, you have the, you know, official authorities most often downplaying it and mocking it and stuff like that. And, of course, our media, unless they can make money from it, like in movies and TV shows, they are not interested in talking about it for real because they've been told by the authorities that it's not real. So I'm like, I just don't know what to believe anymore. I can't confirm anything, basically. So about, I don't know, 15 years ago or more now, I just said, I don't know. I'm just left it alone. A little bit kind of reintroduced it. Michael Heiser, who's a Christian writer who's now passed away, but he did some awesome work on what he called the unseen realm and that part of the Bible. So I really was into that, and so it kind of stayed there for a while until last July, which is where this pivot in what Wings of the Eagle is doing, especially in podcast form here and potentially moving forward with getting a community together and to you know, to raise support for investigations and work in this area. So so since July, it's like, you know what? I am just ignorant. I'm just too ignorant right now. I gotta read up on this stuff because there's been a lot of good work that's actually being done that hadn't been there, you know, prior to 2000, basically. Okay, awesome. Bride's got a question, and there's a spammer on Twitch. So let me take care of this. I can't take your spammer right now. I'll delete it later. Bri says, do you have a link on YouTube that tells of what your experience specifically was 40 years ago? Yes. Let me find it later. But yes, you can go back in the unsealed playlist, even just on the audio. I know, Bri, audio is easier for you. The audio version, it's called My UFO Experience or something like that. So I'm a few months ago, maybe December, somewhere in there. But yeah, yep. Anyways, so since July, I've just kind of really dug down into the nuts and bolts of what the heck is really. Give me an investigation. Give me a historian. Give me a reporter. Give me somebody who's dispassionate. Okay, who's not a rabid believer in everything or a debunker of everything. Just give me the straight stuff, you know? And so, thank God, there are those resources available now and in the past few years. And so what I want to do today is I just last night finished one of the major works on this from Tim Dolan. Richard Dolan, excuse me, on his, and he's a historian, so he did a historical review, basically, of things that were maybe popularly known and maybe things that weren't known, and government documents and meetings and FOIA and just putting it all together, and the biggest, most amazing, you know, stupendous UFO incidents over a course of a year. So he covered everything from 1947 through 1991. And it's over, I think it's over 1,000 pages between two volumes. So if you haven't read that, please do so. It really, really helps just to get what the straight stuff is on this. All right. So today, number one, I do want to refer you, and I can link to it either today or some other point. There's a Mr. Dolan, who I'm referencing, it does a lot of video also now. He's increased his social presence significantly. He did a video a month or so ago called the 10, shoot, I forget what it's called, but basically the 10 things you need to know about the UFO subject. that maybe you didn't know. And like, he just goes through, it's not long. He just goes through point by point and says, yep, this is the case. This is what's happening. This is some quick evidence for it, and then moves on. It's really important, I think, that we go over that. And I don't know if there's a way to do it as part of this show, like some kind of copyright, or I don't want to infringe on the guy's content or whatever. Maybe we'll do this in a more private setting. And that's one of the ideas that we have as well, to get together with the folks who are interested and actually go over it in more detail in private. My partner's advising me to stay on point. Okay. Right. So I should. Okay. What the heck am I talking about? So first of all, this title and this picture that you saw on the bookmark for this video is actually a real photo from the Los Angeles Times, from what's been known as the Battle of Los Angeles. And this is an actual event in LA, what the heck year was it? Oh my gosh, I want to say 1950, early 50s, where there was a report of several unidentified objects coming into Los Angeles from the Pacific Ocean. And so guns up, spotlights and all kinds of ordnance were fired, and it was crazy. But it's one of those things where, like, boy, that sounds made up. You know, that sounds like a movie. By the way, we're going with the super green motif today, with the lights and the graphics and also the cup. Sorry, audio only. So anyway, that's what that's about. And the title is a reference to another famous, once you read about it, once you find out about it, incident in UFO history called the Estimate of the Situation. And this was a document in 1948 that is still classified or denied that it exists. But several people have come along over the years and said it definitely does. So I'm going to assume that it does. Anyway, basically, it just says, yes, these things that we're seeing are not made up. They're not natural phenomena. They're not we're not being tricked. Our eyeballs are not being fooled by planets or stars or some type of, comets or whatever. So they're real things, and they behave in ways that our stuff can't do. So we don't know what's going on, and they're intelligently controlled. So basically, we're not crazy as a country, America. This is a military Air Force type guy said, we've got to take it seriously. And went right to the top to generals and stuff. So anyway, that's called the Estimate of the Situation. So I'm not saying I want to, let's just come out and say it. So I've not arrived at solid conclusions, but I am forming, what I'm looking at as the big picture. It's starting to come into focus. So again, I want you to do your own reading on this, serious readings, like I just said, the Richard Dolan books. There's part one and part two. There's a book called, we did this already, but Skinwalkers at the Pentagon, that is still very important even right now with this Kona Blue situation. If you know what happened there the other day, that has directly everything to do with that Skinwalkers at the Pentagon book, or the history that's detailed in that book. Ross Coulthard's In Plain Sight, and Ross is continuing to this day to, I mean, like literally last night he had a huge Ask Me Anything session on Reddit and a lot of interesting stuff in there. Anyways, so he as an investigator and like Dolan as a historian, I like, these are the types of people we should be listening to figure this stuff out, because no one has figured it out. And of course, there's a book called UFO and Nukes, which you definitely want to get. Something's going on. Yes. My estimate of the situation is, there are absolutely, positively 100% what people would call UAP or UFOs documented for 100 years now. 100 years. that are amazingly consistent. In other words, what they look like, now they change. There are different forms that they take, but basically the same types of things, the same behaviors that are witnessed, the same types of interactions over a century now. And regardless of what the public was told outwardly, that privately within the classified settings, and there's a lot more info about the United States history on this because basically of the FOIA process and the Freedom of Information Act and stuff like that, that used to be very powerful. It's not so much anymore, but anyway, we found out stuff that was denied forever. It's actually true. Like, yeah, since the 40s, at some point in the 40s, the U.S. government and associated arms of the government are very, very serious about what this is. They are not shoving it off. They're lying when they say there's nothing to it. They're lying when they say all of this can be explained or resolved. That's the current word, resolved, like Arrow, resolution office. They know they're not going to all be resolved. It's been consistent for every time that we've tried to say, okay, let's look into this. Every single time, but somewhere between 4 and 5 and 10% and even more are unexplained. So you're talking about roughly 1 in 10 legit unexplainable, not just somebody looking up and, wow, I saw something tonight. Radar, technology, chasing them with jets, various types of confirmations. There's legitimate, unidentified, intelligently controlled things, not natural phenomena that come and go. And boy, that was weird. So yes, it's real. Okay. It's real. What's behind it is another story, right? We got to get to the point where, you know what? Yes. Something's happening and we're taking it very serious to the point where, again, you hear stories that sound fantastic, but there's never been any rebuttal on the fact that, yeah, we really are worried about our nuclear weapons because we've had visitations a lot to many, many nuclear facilities, to ICBM locations where the actual missiles would launch to destroy Russia. We've been visited, okay, by things, by UAPs, big ones, bright ones, saying, hello, I'm here. We're not just spying on you covertly, like the CIA, the Langley incidents, these drones that apparently are harassing us, right? This is nothing new. It's been going on for a long time, to the point where not just things are hanging over and doing something. Other folks have, the people who work there said there's actually orbs that have gone into secure areas through the wall. So, and would whatever they were doing there, sometimes they messed it up. Sometimes they fixed things. Sometimes they patched it up so there wouldn't be a leak. It's crazy what the testimony is, but it is the testimony. And so the downplaying of your governments are false. That's conclusion number one. It is absolutely a real phenomenon. And even calling it a phenomenon is kind of discounting it a little bit. Now, does that mean a lot of folks, even my own family, will say, hey, you know, automatically think aliens and little green men? I don't think that. I mean, at this point, I don't think the evidence points there right now. What I put on X this week, I think, is a really good way, if you're serious about this and you are really convinced that, yeah, there's something to it and I shouldn't ignore it anymore, is go in with these three, fight these three assumptions. if you're really serious about it, do not assume that it's all made up. Do not assume that everything is a big conspiracy either. So don't assume conspiracies everywhere. Don't assume hoaxes everywhere. That's what debunkers do. Debunkers think everything's a hoax or can be explained through non-UFO explanations. A believer is very conspiracy-minded, right? It's obviously, it's all real and it's all being covered up in the evil government or whatever. So I'm just saying, like, that's the default. There's no critical thinking. There's no, anyway, don't assume it. Don't assume it's all conspiracy. Don't assume it's all hoaxes. There are hoaxes and there are conspiracies, but not everything falls there. And third, don't assume it's all our stuff. You can't. We can't. If you really want to be serious about it, you got to have an open mind to the point of that's not, not when I say our stuff, I don't just mean American. I mean human. You cannot assume just because something is real and physical and flying around in the air or landing on the ground or going into the ocean. And sometimes, yeah, they just up and disappear. But sometimes they're actually physical things that you can see, that you can interact with, that you can touch even, that make physical marks. Sometimes they don't, but sometimes they do. You have to leave room to understand that as not human. We didn't make those. So what are you left with? Okay, yes, I understand. At that point, you're saying, well, then it could be aliens from another galaxy. I hear you, but that's not the only explanation. There's a taxonomy, and if I did my job and prepared this episode properly, I could show it to you right this second. Maybe I still can. It's a taxonomy of possibilities. No, I can't find it. Anyway, it's a big old chart with, well, it could be this and it could be that. And it could be this could be the explanation. And all non-prosaic. Extraterrestrial, meaning outside of the Earth. Crypto-terrestrial, in other words, things that have been here before us. Extra dimensional, meaning you're somehow they're accessing other spaces and times or using this to either travel or to appear or disappear. Is there another realm entirely that's existing right on top of ours? Right? All these things are, if the real thinkers, the people who are actually willing to study this stuff, have to consider all of that. And it's not all, as much as we want to make it maybe one thing or the other, we can't say it's just nuts and bolts stuff. I mean, that's a phrase, but like physical things. It's actual metal that was made somewhere, and it's from a foundry and somewhere. Somebody made it somewhere, and now they're just flying around, and they have really, really, really advanced technology. That's why it appears to disappear or do whatever, these crazy things and turns and speeds. But it's all like we would understand an airplane or a car. But unfortunately, that's not where the evidence is yet. It's not there. Some of it is that, but some of it is not that. If you know Jacques Vallée and his theories on this, he makes some very good points about this phenomenon is not just a 20th century phenomenon. But over the centuries, and we showed you last week and other times, there's three different famous European sightings where the UAPs are UFOs are flying around in the air at different shapes. Some are circular orbs, some are big cigar ships, some are look like bright lights, sharing the sky, fighting each other. So over the centuries, whether it be that or even people being visited, you know, this is the taboo subject of actual beings interacting with people. And now we have a very accepted, you know, well, they're short, they're gray, they have big eyes, they're this and that. But that's not what they used to look like. When you were visited by some entities from some flying ships, sometimes they looked very different. And Jacques Vallée would say, well, that's because they're appearing as whatever you would be expecting. Okay, let's go beyond that. There are many. There's a consistent story. All right, there's a consistent, you call it a mythology if you want. It has to be in that term because it's never been officially acknowledged. But over the decades since the 40s, again, just concentrating on the America and the industrialized nations. Yes, Russia. Yes, Europe. Yes, China. Yes, Middle East. We've all had very, very similar experiences. And there, again, concentrating on America because we're very rich and technologically advanced, that there has been a pretty significant history of claims that, yes, somehow we've obtained craft, okay? Something that flies around, now we have it. Some people say crash, like a crash retrieval program. That's the euphemism. But things crash for different reasons. Some people say it's not a crash. They left it there on purpose. Or it broke down or whatever. Some possibilities are that we really haven't thought of is there's crashes because there's fighting and other UAPs are shooting at that UAP and or somehow disabling it and causing it to crash. But so yes, the evidence is there is absolutely a program to recover these things when this happens. Now maybe they did it to themselves. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe others shot it. Maybe we shot it down. Maybe we've discovered how with radar or other, you know, electromagnetic things. I don't know. There's evidence that we're trying to develop weapons or have tried against them. And so maybe that's how they're crashing. But yes, there is a program to retrieve material and crafts, and if there are occupants of these crafts, some, again, just going on the basic understanding or the evidence, sometimes there are occupants and sometimes they're not. Maybe most times there are not. So the term drone really isn't wrong if they're unpiloted. They're being remote controlled by somebody somewhere. Now that we don't know. But to say I don't know, it doesn't mean it could be China. Unknown meaning not people. Or not anyone that's making themselves visible. Literally. Anyway, sometimes there are occupants, allegedly. And we have, apparently, depending on which version or what witness you're talking about, there are occupants that have been recovered. Maybe they're all deceased. Maybe they're not. My personal opinion of not just what's been recovered in secret by government and private industry aerospace contractors that are in cahoots with the government on this. And that's a fact. That's a fact. Whatever has been recovered or even the abduction stories lately. Now, I mean, the past quarter century, the 70s, it really started blowing up with abductions and stuff. And not every time, but many times you have the description of what the abduction experience was with these short gray big eyed little mouth, you know, things. But in many of the, from what I'm gathering from many of this testimony, from many of those people who claim to be taken or to have communication with them, or even this, the military folks who say they've recovered bodies or recovered living things, biologics, they are often described in very, they're alive, but they're not. Like clones or like androids. That's our terminology. Obviously, in the movies, when you think android, you're like the Terminator, like that type of thing. It's a metal creation that's made to look like a person on the outside or whatever. These things apparently are, they display a lot of the things that a artificial life form. You want to be careful, but the claims aren't, there's not many of them that talk about their anatomy and what, apparently they only have one organ instead of heart and lungs and all this stuff. There's one thing in there and there's no sexual organs and they don't even have a full set of fingers. So like my very loose thought right now, my estimate of the situation is the gray alien motif seems to be an artificial life form created by someone else who doesn't want to be seen, who doesn't want to be known. That's all I'm going to say about that. Madam Rex says, yes, there's a taxonomy chart in Google Drive. We can definitely grab that if we can. I will try that before. Let me get to Gary, who's actually asked a question a couple minutes ago now. Oh my gosh, sorry. Gary says, if upon sighting one and you call upon the name of Jesus Christ and it leaves, then you know what you are witnessing. Don't play. I don't disagree with that. In fact, I've thought through that scenario. And if it's some type of entity, okay, here's the thing with that. I believe that in these last days, this is Gary again. I believe in these last days, we're going to be confronted with more and more unbelievable people and events. Keep the name of Jesus Christ on your lips. Amen. 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 However, you definitely want to default to that, right? I'm just thinking, like, obviously the name of Jesus will cause the devil to flee. The demons have to respect the name. They go away. We know that. Okay, if you're a Christian and you believe in the supernatural realm and the authority that the name of Jesus has, we know this. We, even up throughout church history, even today, you can cast out demons. That's a thing. Here's however, there's never been scripturally, there's no example or otherwise that I know of that a demon has a physical vehicle or technology. It just exists and it seeks to be inside a person. That's what Jesus said, right? Demons desire to be inside people. They don't need to do all this other stuff. They're invisible. Some people have claimed that demons will manifest and you can see them on like a ghost or something. And that's fine. But I'm thinking like, okay, well, if it's a demon, then yes, Jesus, the name of Jesus will work and they'll leave. If, however, let's say you had a bear in the woods, you're walking in near your house and you meet a bear and now it's standing on two legs and it's roaring at you. Now, did God made that? Yes, he did. If I invoke the name of Jesus at him, will he leave? Probably not. He didn't give us authority over all of nature, right? We still have a curse. We still have the world as it is. If you have a murderer show up at your door, a jihadi, and like it might work, but it's not guaranteed to work because this is not a spiritual entity. Point is, what if these things we're dealing with, or a gray alien creation or whatever that is, if it's not a spiritual disembodied demon, you know, if it's not in the spiritual realm, but it's actually in a physical realm, but maybe just in a part that we don't understand, then who's to say the calling on the name of the Lord will do anything? It wouldn't chase the bear away. I mean, it might, praise God, okay, but it's not guaranteed to work. That's what I'm talking about, okay? So it's one thing if we're dealing with demons, okay, but are we dealing with fallen angels? Who says that the angels are not going to respect? They have free will in this. They can, you know what I mean? And that's only if that, what if it's something else? What if it's people? What if it's humans from the past? And yes, I'm talking Bible past. That somehow obtained a lot of advanced knowledge, advanced technologies, advanced understanding of how the unseen world works. Genesis 6. And Enoch. Book of Enoch gets very descriptive about the interactions. It wasn't just the sons of Elohim, the sons of God came to the daughters of men and raped them and had giant children called the Nephilim or the giants. That's one thing, but there's also interactions that apparently these fallen ones, these fallen angels, these sons of God communicated and taught to human beings. And that was one of the reasons the flood was sent at all, right? The point is, you can point to this, hey, wait a minute, they're fallen angels, but the people that they taught the technology or the secrets of the universe to or whatever, they're not fallen angels. They're not demons. Maybe, do you see what I'm saying? I'm just saying this type of thing has to be still on our radar to not assume that just because it's crazy and looks impossible that it is for people to do or for non-spiritual beings to do. That doesn't mean they're not lying. It doesn't mean they have don't have an agenda. All right, anyway, just keep thinking through these things. Like, just because you see something disappear doesn't mean it's not real. Just because you see a craft go into the water, the oceans, or pop out into the sky or land somewhere doesn't mean it's an alien from outer space. It also doesn't mean it's a demon. That we have to not get over it, but have more discernment than that. Okay, what else did I want to mention? The other, I think this last piece for now will satisfy me. The estimate of the situation, in my opinion, in terms of, okay, then, whatever is the intelligence behind the phenomenon, okay, I'm using the modern words, right? Whatever's behind UFOs, whatever the intelligent control is, whether there be beings, whether they be remotely controlled, whatever, what's the agenda? Because like Gary was, trying to get across, well, it's all going to be negative, like for deception purposes. Now that might be true, but it might not. There might be two factions. There might be good ones. Or ones that are loyal to, just in the Christian worldview, that there are good angels and bad angels, right? There are good ones still. Maybe there are good people that are visiting us and doing, whatever. And maybe there's a bad side same creatures, but or same type of thing, but different agendas. Don't assume that it's bad and deceiving. Don't assume that it's good and beneficial. You can deceive when you when you're out to trick someone, when you're out to deceive someone, that means you have bad intentions, but you're lying to pretend that your intentions are good. But if you just come out and start and be malevolent, that's not a deceiver. That's just evil, right? That's just aggressive. That's just an enemy, whatever. So why do I say that? Is because whether it be the David Grush testimony, whether it be the people who have come forward so far, whether it be in public or just in private, and what like investigators like Ross Coulthard have come across is the opinion right now, the view right now in 2024 is that there is more than one non-human intelligence behind these things. In other words, either they're completely different organisms or things, or they're factions. And one faction, right, like Republicans and Democrats or whatever, right? Like one faction wants to hurt us and has bad intentions and get us off the planet or who knows what. Malevolent, okay, wicked. Wants pain and suffering, wants to do what it wants and looks at us like bugs or animals. But then there's also another one that is nice, okay, is at least saying that they're benevolent. That's the prevailing opinion right now, which means, at least it means that there has been contact. So at some level between humans and the intelligence behind UFOs that both have displayed both kind, you know, beneficial friendship, basically, and malevolence, evil, harm, hurt, you know, you don't matter. We're superior to you and we're going to destroy your planet type of stuff or whatever, take it over or whatever, or take rape you and whatever. And there's nothing you can do about it. That's malevolent. So whether it's the same creature or whatever entity or different ones or just different factions, the evidence to this point says there is both. So that makes me pause. So that makes me say, wait a minute, how much can we really assume right now? Right? Because frankly, the Christian world mostly is reflexively, these are evil and a deception. That's it. Nothing to it. I mean, just that's all it is. It can't possibly be anything else. I'm not speaking for everyone. I'm just, the prevailing opinion is that. And the prevailing opinion of the non-Christian world is, this is great, good for us. These are our space brothers. They've come to help us. They're all beneficial. Don't believe this crap that they're lying and deceivers, that we are the true evil, us humans. You know, we need to be stopped. We need to, right? That's basically, not everyone, but that's the basic opinion of a non-Christian worldview. That they all come from their own places, whether it be to disprove the God of the Bible, to you know, prove evolution in their mind, or to, you know, a lot of that language is always around evolving and consciousness and yada yada. That's their worldview, and so they're going to take another presence as a positive force, reflexively, just assuming they're good. Whereas Christians, because we know there's an enemy out there who's unseen, we know that scripturally, and maybe some of us have dealt with it in person, we know that there's evil out there, so we reflexively just think, oh, evil, can't be God, can't be good angels, can't be some other form of life, it's got to be demons. Both of those views are dumb. I'm sorry. They're not smart. I mean, right now, it seems to be more complicated than that. And in fact, it's part of the, I referred to Ross Coulthard in this Reddit thing he did last night. That was the point he made a couple of times, which is from what he can gather from the people he talks to and the people who are on the program and who are actually, you know, willing to talk. Sometimes they want to keep themselves private, but they'll say what they know. Is that they don't know. It's too, the truth is stranger. It's almost too strange to comprehend. And that's possibly why you don't have the truth coming out. This disclosure that many of us want, which I do, is not coming because it would be easier to say, yes, it's an alien race from Zeta Reticuli, 10,000 light years away, and they came here in the 40s, and we have one of their craft or whatever, and they want to help us, or they're not nice, and we've got to prepare for war. I don't know. But that's way easier. You can understand that way more and more easily than the super strange reality that it looks like it is. People can understand beings from another planet because there are so many other planets and stars. We can see that with our eyeballs. We know that they're out there. There's things out there that you can say, well, there must be life on one of them or a lot of them, and maybe somebody came here. And that's easy to understand. What's harder to understand is, potentially, that there is levels, there are levels of reality and the creation of God, what we call nature, that there are parts to it that are naturally just here all the time. And that beings, potentially, whatever you want to call them, beings, are also here all the time. And that there was not a point that they arrived from somewhere else, that they've always been here. And for whatever reason, well, only once, you know, once in a while they would make themselves known or have a big show in the sky, maybe fight each other. But it's only now in the past several decades that we're getting very, very good at seeing them, at finding them, at detecting their presence, at maybe drawing them out. Maybe that's what's happening. Maybe our technology is catching up, or we can discern, we can see other dimensions, or can influence them, or maybe there's some, again, anyway, that's kind of where I'm at with this. Hopefully that is kind of helpful, but let's see if I missed anything super important. Okay, just one last thing, and because I said this the last couple of days, for example, this Kona Blue thing, right? If you know what this is, go, the Arrow released this Kona Blue and said, oh yeah, this is what everyone, you crazy witnesses who don't know what you're talking about, are referring to this program that never got off the ground called Kona Blue. I think they really made a mistake there. I think they really made a mistake in releasing that. They really screwed up. Because people are starting to read between the lines. Why was it called that? That seems weird. Well, like in Hawaii, like what's Kona? What is that? It could just be something the military does every day, which is shorten words. Acronyms. There is a very famous case, and there's follow-up on this from people who know. A case from Kingman, Arizona in 1952. Kingman, K, Arizona, O-N-A, K-U-N-A, Kona. Where there was something recovered, maybe many things, maybe several crafts recovered. and potentially beings also taken at that time. And so, again, a smart person can try to see that this is unraveling. It's unraveling. It can't stay secret forever if people are actually interested, right? That's the only way it stays secret is if people don't care. And they've been very effective at that. People who want to keep it secret, just make fun of it, make it go away. That's the best way to keep a secret. Like the biggest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. Right? That's what this is. If you want to keep it secret forever and stay under the radar, say it never existed. It's all made up. So that's where we're at with the Kona thing. Okay. What else did I want to say this week? Oh, the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is the UAPs, UFOs are absolutely over the decades interfering, not just visiting, but interfering with our nuclear weapons. It's a fact. The Air Force, for example, has lied about it. It's not just they're denying it. We know that it happened. Not only in America, but Russia. This is a clear and present danger. This is the behavior of a dangerous adversary. In America's case, the evidence is that UAPs, whatever, interfered with nuclear weapons from America. One time in a test rocket, they disabled it in flight. Another time, they actually came into a facility and shut off the systems to launch the rockets or the missiles, the ICBMs. Shut it off. You can't shut it off. You can't. It's like we built that on purpose. So only you have to have specific codes, long strings of letters and numbers and keys being turned at specific moments to do things like that. You can't just say, turn it off. There's no button that says turn it off or turn it on. That's not how we designed it. But yet they were. So basically the UAP came and acted like the Pentagon and the president all together in one action said, disable your site right now. And they did it. We didn't do it. They did it. So what is that? It came back on when they left. That's not the way to send the message to say nuclear weapons are bad. Don't use them. It says we're going to do whatever we want to do whenever we want to do it to your biggest and best weapons. And there's nothing you can do about it. In Russia, or in the Soviet Union, actually in Ukraine at the time, in the 80s, there was another incident, very, very similar. UAP showed up to a nuclear ICBM site, only in that case, they turned it on for a launch. And we came this close to a nuclear war because of UFOs, not because we're shooting at UFOs, but because they turned it on for us, ready to launch. Again, the Russia or the Soviets had the same ideas and systems that we did for fail-safes. You can't have one person dictating when missiles go on and get fired and destroy your country and millions of dead, right? There's no way. But a UAP did it. That's the evidence. That's the evidence. That's the paper trail. That's the testimony of witnesses. That's the military people themselves in Russia and in America have testified to it. They just said, I can't explain it, but that's what happened. I don't know how, but that's what it was. So that's where we're at. And not only that it happened, but you get total denials from the Air Force, for example. Like, it never happened. And again, I'm not just some talking head or whatever, just spouting claims or nonsense. Go read it. The evidence is out there in respectable places. Okay. Not the dark corners of the internet on Reddit, published works, FOIA'd documents, multiple witness testimonies. So, yeah. Okay, what do we got? Bond Servant, who's asking questions a while ago already. The flood wiped out everything. Wiped everything out. Noah and his family survived, so no human knowledge of the fallen angels would exist, in my opinion. However, fallen angels might be the culprits, if no other creation. Meaning, fallen angels' teachings would not much be remembered, I think. Beware of aliens bringing gifts like chocolate mint ice cream. No doubt about that. If you want to fool me, bring that. So I got to be on the lookout. I just want to push back a little on this idea. So Noah and his family obviously were the only men that survived. However, there were giants after the flood. There's only one way they were produced, unless there's some other way that we're not told about. So, right, the sons of God and the daughters of men, fallen angels and human created giants, sexually. So what happened there? Why were there giants in the land that Joshua and Moses encountered? Either they survived somehow, maybe a different part of the world that wasn't affected by the flood. All right. Or they just started, instead of killing everyone, they reformed themselves and started intermarrying, and the giants themselves got more and more normal sized. But still, that would mean they didn't perish in the flood. Or that would mean even after the flood, fallen angels were still coming back and doing their things and creating new generations. What I'm hypothesizing, what my comment was about earlier, is there was a period before the flood where the fallen angels came and Mount Hermon and that whole thing, and there was a plan, right? We got to do our thing to insert our whatever. That's unfortunate. Create this new hybrid, whatever. But at that same time there, again, with Enoch especially, they were instructing humanity how to do these things. How to make weapons. How to study the stars. The secrets of the earth. Those things definitely carried through. Yes, the teachings of the fallen angels absolutely persisted, it would seem. But even if you say they didn't, and Noah and his family never learned any of that, and they're the only ones left on the earth. Okay, fine. There was still a period between when the fallen angels came to the earth and the flood. In that period, you had them teaching a lot of stuff and educating people how to do certain things and maybe new technologies. They definitely taught them new weapon technologies. In that period, what if you had a group of humans who took what they were saying very seriously and worshiped them basically as gods, and took that knowledge. And now think about it. This knowledge would be so far beyond what humans like Noah had. Maybe they discovered or were told how. Maybe this is part of the plan. Maybe they were told how to manipulate these other dimensions or these other aspects of the earth and the stars, the atmosphere, etc., however you want to say it, to hide themselves or to, in a parallel timeline, same timeline, but now parallel because you're in a different world. You're in an unseen world now. I'm it's a brain exercise, okay? Just think of possibilities. Let's say these people learned all the stuff from the fallen angels before the flood. I'm not saying after the flood, just before. These people learned all this stuff, and with that knowledge, they learned how to access this other world, this unseen realm, where fallen angels live. But what if humans could live there too? Or maybe it's a separate place. Maybe it's kind of like an in-between. So it's on the earth. It's not like in the stars somewhere, but it's still here. But now they've learned and are advancing and are living their own civilization, a parallel civilization outside of our world. But they're still just people, humans. So what if they had a huge head start, you know, with knowledge? Maybe they had the 2024 knowledge back in 4000 BC. 5000 BC. Right? Today's technology then, and or scientific understanding, how to make nukes or how to manipulate like a CERN, like, you know, particles and opening up other aspects and dimensions of space. Maybe they found out how to live in there. And ever since Noah's time before the flood, maybe the bunch of them, a thought, okay, hypothesis, not even a theory, a hypothesis. What if they took that knowledge very seriously and found a way to access this unseen world and live there? They've never come back, or they rarely come back, but they're always in this other place, and they've now advanced for 5,000 years since then. Maybe they influence people from time to time. Maybe this would explain a lot. but they're not demons. They're not spirits. They're not angels. They might claim to be all those stuff. They might claim to be an alien race. They might claim to be this and that, but they're still just people. I'm just saying, like, that's a hypothesis. If you want to take some of the weird parts of the Bible and think, well, maybe... is that an explanation for what we could be seeing? Because the conclusion that many folks are reaching is there's an interdimensional aspect to this. It's not just from another planet. It's like they're using our space and time that we live in, our Earth, our world, but somehow manipulating it. Now, there could be very non-spiritual answers for how to do that, right? Because like 100 years ago, the space shuttle would sound like nonsense, you know, to Abraham Lincoln, or to an iPhone, or how Bluetooth, Wi-Fi? What do you mean Wi-Fi? You communicate, there's over the air, invisibly, you're sending an internet signal. What's the internet, right? Like, just explaining Wi-Fi to Abraham Lincoln or to George Washington's, Right. You know what I mean? It would seem like miraculous stuff. It would seem like magic to the colonial Americans. But to Americans now, we know very well how it works. And it's not mystical, right? So maybe it's the same type of thing. Maybe we're the colonial Americans, and this parallel civilization over here is like modern day. We're just really behind. And we didn't learn the stuff that they did from the fallen angels, who kind of cheated. It's like a cheat code. Maybe that was their intention all along. Maybe the giants and the reproduction sexually was just part of the plan. Maybe the major part was getting regular old humans to rebel against God to such a degree that they would leave the earth, so to speak, or the world that God wanted them to be in, and to access this other place. Maybe that's what the Tower of Babel was all about. Maybe they're trying to build a Stargate or something like, or interdimensional portals, or a way to access this unseen world, to live there. Just a hypothesis, okay? Going back to the Giants question, I know Madam Rex is extremely interested in that topic. However, Flood may have been more regional than global. That's a possibility. Giants reported all over the earth afterwards. Right, it wasn't just in the Middle East, where obviously the Noah story and the Bible story occurs, because there are giants reports and skeletons everywhere, including America. So how did that happen, right? Either they were already here, or they got here on a boat, or somebody took them. Yeah, I don't know. But, right, I mean, we have to consider things like that. It's the truth is stranger than an alien from another world. It could be much, much stranger. At least I have one person backing me up. Hey, Marisol, what's up? She says, interesting. Okay, good enough for me. And Madam says, pre-flood interdimensional time travelers is totally on the table. And not even time travelers. I'm not even saying that, even though I'm not saying it. If in that hypothesis there, I'm not even talking about time traveling. I'm talking about they removed themselves from the world 5,000 years ago and are in a parallel reality, but it's still the same year, right? They're watching or whatever, it's coming up together. Maybe that works just like one for one, right? 5,000 years in the normal world, and then 5,000 years in the unseen world, right? It's nothing. Nobody's traveling in time. We're just parallel civilizations. A secret one. Now, Tim Dolan, in the books that I just finished, Richard Dolan. Why do we keep wanting to call him Tim? Richard Dolan, in his excellent historical review, he does an outstanding job of not putting his opinion really in it at all. It's just sanitized facts and good analysis based on that, on those facts. He is opinionated sometimes. He coined a phrase perhaps in those books called he coined it and I forgot it. Not parallel civilization, but something to that effect. Secret civilization. What his view of that, though, is, yes, people in the dark world, in the past 100 years only, in this culture where because of the UFO problem, now we're talking about SAPs nowadays, right? And this dark black money, black projects, can't ever be known, can't ever tell the Congress, can't ever discern where the money came from. So you get basically have a parallel civilization, regular old people still on the regular old earth, but they have no rules. They have no laws. They get as much money as they want. They investigate whatever, you know, they create technology maybe that's from UFOs, and they have their own world where all this, the rules are different, and they kind of rule over us. That's his view. I don't think I take that view at all. But when I'm talking about a parallel civilization, I'm talking about potentially thousands of years ago, a long time ago, people discovered how to do this and now are in that other place. And maybe they're continuously influencing or trying to teach, you know, people who would be their students. Maybe that's the New Age movement. Maybe that's the, say, black magic stuff, right? Maybe that's Wicca. Maybe that's other religions. Maybe that's whatever. So it would still be falling under a demonic plan, you could say, but they're not demons. If that were true, we're not dealing with demons. We're not dealing with aliens. So that's a possibility in my mind. We have to consider that. Madam Rex says, some remaining extremely ancient architecture almost defies human knowledge today, like some of the stuff that's been built. Right. And we know it's really thousands of years old, and still it's really hard to replicate it, like you're saying, even with what we have today. See, it definitely makes you think, like, what the heck? What the heck, man? Somebody was here and did this, and either they were really, really into it, and the knowledge was totally lost. Or somebody's messing around. As someone called me Tim. Yeah. I got Monty Python on the brain, I guess. Bondservant says, if true, then the fallen angels are still teaching and assisting. Not necessarily. No. Again, maybe, but I don't know. What I was hypothesizing is just like what we read, it was a temporary situation in Genesis 6. The fallen angels, the sons of God, came to the daughters of men. They created the giants, and then the flood wiped that whole situation away, and those angels were locked away. Maybe it's in the River Euphrates, or in Duduel, in the desert, in the black desert of Syria or Jordan. That's again from Enoch. So yeah, I don't think those guys are doing much influencing. And that might have been it. That might have been all God permitted. That's it. No one else is leaving, right? No one's influencing anything. See where it goes now with this, you know, potentially this parallel human race. So they could be passing on the teachings of the angels that sinned. But they're not the angels themselves. You know what I mean? It's just an idea. Anyway. Okay. Did I forget anything? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I forgot anything, actually. But I so appreciate you being along for the ride here. Please continue to share. Please continue to ask questions. And I don't plan on, you know, not doing any more deep diving into this, because I am, but just saying, for right now, getting a historical review is very, very important. So it's like you're on the same page. Everyone's on the same even keel, right? We're starting at, what's the old expression? I should have started off with this. The old expression from, I don't know, Moynihan or whatever, back in the old senator back in the day, where everyone's acknowledged, everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but not their own version of the facts. The versions of what facts are, what the facts are of the past 100 years is what we need to find. Then, and still today, it's ongoing, obviously. But the getting the what really is true, the facts out, is what matters. Then you can draw whatever opinions you want. Your opinions are yours. You have theories. You have ideas. Great. You have opinions. Great. But that's not what I'm talking about. And that's not what I'm studying right now. I mean, it's great to, I like theorizing. I like seeing people's ideas. But tell me the facts right now. What do we know for sure? And some things we just don't know for sure. Part of it's just the nature of the phenomenon. It's not revealing itself. And that's the thing we got to swallow, is that if it's not us, regular humans of any nation, if it's not us, then it's another intelligence, whatever, from somewhere, making these decisions and deciding when to reveal themselves and when to mess with our nuclear weapons and when to show up over Washington, D.C. and when to be over Los Angeles and when to be in your bedroom, potentially. That's something to deal with, isn't it? Okay. That's different than, wow, look at that, a funny light in the sky. Isn't that fun to talk about? Yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice if we saw one one day? Yeah, that'd be cool. Anyway, how's the weather? Right. Like that's not just something to brush off and put in your, you know, your journal for the day. And life goes on as normal. It's world changing. Paradigm shifting. Understanding. Most people in the world don't, right? At least the Western world, we've poo-pooed the understanding of an unseen world completely. Everything spiritual is garbage. There are no unseen creatures. There are no things that, there's no such thing as demons. There's no such thing as angels. There's no such thing as other dimensions that have life in it. It's all very, very explainable. And everything is Gnostic, right? You can, or not Gnostic. Everything is materialistic. What you see is what you get. Everything has an explanation, prosaic explanations. What? We don't understand our world. We don't understand the oceans that are next to us. We don't understand what's down there. We don't understand what's up there. Anyway, let's stop there for now. Gone on long enough. Glad I've been entertaining to somebody to stick around. But please, again, shoot me a message on the X platform if you're on there, Manti 4, which reminds me, I've got to get back to someone who wrote me a note 2 days ago now. But I will get back to you for sure. Email is not great. If you're a believer, I encourage you to get the End Time app, endtime.app. Just type that in and use it, please, for the love of God. Don't depend on Facebook or YouTube or X. Please get the app and use it. Communicate with me that way or with yourselves that way. That's what it's there for. And we got our yearly payment is coming up on that. So if it's useful to you, support that. Support this. If you love this podcast, give us a shout. Go to wingsoftheeagle.com/support unsealed. Is that what it's called? Yeah. Support Unsealed. There's a nice little form right there you can fill out and do. And if you, again, if you have an experience, if you saw a UFO or had some type of something that you never felt comfortable telling your church or your pastor, go to unsealedpodcast.com and at the bottom there's a form to fill out and you submit and I'll see it, no one else. And maybe it'll be helpful to you to start that conversation. Of course, any episode we've ever done is on that page as well, unsealedpodcast.com. And be on the lookout for more ways to support Wings of the Eagle, as we are always consumed now with three areas. The church is not right, and we're part of that. We need to concentrate on three things: the end times, eschatology, it's called, Israel, and the unseen realm. And this UFO topic, no matter what you think of it, it absolutely involves the unseen realm. So let's be serious about it, sober-minded, in love, hopefully, not judgment, but understanding and going with God. And when he speaks on this, yes, definitely listen. Okay, so until next time, this is Christopher Manti for Unsealed. Love you so much. Prayerfully, be back next week, but watch this space for always for further updates.